Welcome to Gawler Broadcasting Association's Reading and Writing Podcast about books and the authors who write them. Find out not only about their latest book, but also what they write, why they write, and how they work with others so we can read them. Have you ever had the idea that you too wanted to write a book? Find out how it was done by others in candid conversations about what, why, and how they nurtured their books. This episode's interviewer is Jerry Donaldson. The journey as a writer. We want to go all the way back. You've mentioned prolific compositioner. Is that how I could actually call it?
I guess you could call it that, yes.
All the way from primary school. So you were someone who enjoyed writing even as a child. We're looking at the writer's journey and the craft of writing in itself. If you'd like to take us through that again.
Thanks, Jerry, and thanks again to everybody for tuning in. My writing journey has been, I don't know whether it's different to other people's or not, because I haven't really discussed it a lot with other people. I started life as a writer, as I said in the first episode, with my favourite subject at school being composition, and then also turned my history essays into stories rather than actual essays. Shock teacher. I also mentioned last time how I worked in the corporate world writing the dull stuff and then how I became a blogger in later life. How that transitioned into books. Well, going back a little way further, when I was in the corporate life, as many people do, I started looking for an escape plan. What could I do if I left this job? How would my life look and what would it be like? And I thought, yeah, I could be a writer. That's when I first really started thinking about writing a book.
Writing a book, as opposed to other stuff. Like writing as a journalist or writing magazine
articles.
Yeah, that's
right. I never really wanted to be a journalist. If I was going to write anything, it was more stories and not necessarily true stories, but made up stories. I found books a big escape. And so writing such things would be very rewarding. So my first book was a Mills and Boone. I think a lot of people have a half written Mills and Boone in their back room somewhere. I certainly have a whole written Mills and Boone in my back room somewhere. And that was going to be my escape plan because I thought that would be easy.
They are a bit formulaic, aren't they?
Well, yes, I thought that the formula would work in my favour and it would actually be easy to write. I didn't find it that way. So thankfully for anybody listening, that novel did not find a publisher. In fact, I didn't ever seek out a publisher because it was crap. Not so good. But at least it gave me experience in actually writing a whole book.
A start to a finish.
Yes, from start to finish. So I did actually write the whole thing.
When you were doing that, did you actually look in that day's plot development? So did you say, this is the plot, and then have a plan of...
No, so I had an idea of all the main characters, you know, the boy, the girl. I came up with some fancy names for them, which I now can't recall, probably to everyone's also relief. I had an idea of the plot. I wrote in more of an organic way, I guess. Using that in the back of my head, I then wrote. I'm a very slow writer, though. I'm not one that churns out, you know, several thousand words a day. I can do it, but it doesn't come naturally to me because I'm always looking at how I could improve what I just said. There was a lot of back and forth in the writing. Some of that's a bit of laziness. People tell me that when you write something and brainstorm write, like you just sit there and let it out, that's what you should do to start with. And then you keep going with that and keep going with that until you've got your first draft. Then you go back and edit. But I think even at that point in my life, I was still very interested in the editing process. And when I say it's a lazy way to write, it's kind of, you write something and it's like, oh, I haven't got the energy to do that again tomorrow, so I might just go back and review what I've just written. You feel like you're still working then and you're reviewing what you're writing. And there's nothing actually wrong with doing it that way. It's just a much slower process to get to that point of first draft. So that's kind of how I did it. It did take me a long time. I had a full-time job, and so this passion project in the evening to get my escape plan ready, because of course the minute I finished writing my Mills and Boone, it was going to be published and suddenly become a very popular Mills and Boone that would make me enough to leave my job.
And then you could write more Mills
and Boone. And then I could write more Mills and Boone to maintain my retired lifestyle. And of course it didn't work out that way. When I did leave my corporate job, as we discussed in the last episode, I started my blog.
Which is different completely than writing a book. It's a different audience. It's a different aim. It's a different genre altogether.
Yes, this is factual writing. Yes. I wasn't making anything up. These based on my actual travel experiences in Australia. I was making them as entertaining as I could. I had no license. I wasn't making up incidents that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't making up places and characters. It's all factual. And so I think that was a good way, though, to start developing my own voice, because I was writing about something that I knew about, which everyone says, write about what you know. That's not always the thing that works for everybody. I think for me, I was writing about something I knew, and I was trying to make it entertaining at the same time. So people who read my blog would be interested enough to keep reading and then maybe be inspired to go to the places that I was talking about, or at least look at some of the different alternatives to traveling in Australia, which bypassed the main big tourist attractions, because everyone else was writing about them. So I felt that I didn't need to. It's really looking at rural Australia, the quirky places and people that you might encounter, and making that attractive to a traveller who might be looking for inspiration about where to go. So yes, you're right. It's completely, completely different from writing Mills and Boone.
Well, there's no plot.
That's right.
It is more of a...
It is episodic in the sense that you're writing my travelling life. That's what I was really writing. Other than that, yeah, there's no connection to the structure of, say, a novel.
Did you find it different then, or do you think there is any different in writing from the third party perspective to the I perspective? Because that's what writing a book is, if it's fiction, is third party perspective. You're writing about someone else, where blogging is about you and your own experience.
Yeah, it is very different. Writing The Mills and Boone, just to do a comparison with that book, I wasn't writing about myself. Like the main character was not based on me. In some ways that was a lot harder. Writing about the things that you do, you have done, or the things that you are going to do, or the things that you like doing, is easier in one sense because you've had that experience, but also more difficult because you're trying to portray it a more universal way. You're not just, oh, this is little me doing my little adventure. It's like, how do I make that attractive to a broader audience who might not know me? It did actually start life, the blog, as a way to...
As a diary?
And keep people in touch with what we were doing. Like, oh, you travelled such and such. What did you do? And it's like, well, have a look at my blog. That'll tell you what I did. That's kind of one of the reasons that I started doing it. It soon developed into something a little bit more than that, where I was looking at a more universal audience of anyone who wanted to travel in Australia, who might be in doing things that were off the tourist trail.
So in writing that, and from the I perspective, how did you self-edit what you were going to put in it? As in, what you think is a fantastic event or experience, but is really quite boring. How did you do that? How did you decide the content?
I guess the content was based on things that I did find interesting, whether or not they were going to be interesting to the outside world. That's where the skill as a writer comes into play, because you're writing in a way that makes it interesting. Not everyone that read my blog wanted to go to the places that I went to. In fact, I had comments from some people saying, oh, thanks for showing me that. I know I'll never go there myself, but it's interesting to have seen that through your eyes. And so I stopped worrying about what was going to be a popular thing to write about, because it wasn't about that. I never monetized my blog. I never looked at it from how many page hits or views I was going to get. It was really a passion project again for me. Captured my love of traveling in Australia and tried to present that in a very intriguing or inspirational light to other people who were considering that for themselves, and also people who liked a bit of humour in their writing. It was meant to be entertaining as well. It was more story-based again, which, coming back to that as being my writing love, is stories. The storytelling was the focus, not is this a popular destination or is it going to go viral? My blog didn't go viral. It was a very niche blog about a specific set of topics. The reason for writing it became part of the important process.
So did you research about the place or the doing, or was it purely experienced?
Both. I had the experience. My partner and I were very much into getting a brochure about everything. So the first thing we'd do when we went to a destination was often to go to the visitor information center. And so you'd get the insider perspective of what was in the area. And sometimes that wasn't something that was published. So some of the things that I had in my blog weren't really things that you would find out from looking online elsewhere. I felt that I was giving a more of a unique perspective because I had that insider knowledge that wasn't just based on my personal experience, but based on what other people had said too. And often the written material that you used to be able to get in Vitters had interesting information that wasn't readily available anywhere else. I would incorporate that into the blog post as well. Here's my experience and here's some information about the area. That blog had about 400 posts. Some of them were the scenic public toilet posts that I met in the first episode, which were long things, and they weren't trying to inspire people to visit a toilet as opposed to a destination. People weren't going to make the toilet the destination. So not all the blog posts were about a particular place, but I think I liked the story-based articles more. And so I think the last articles I wrote my blog was about a trip that we did as a flight over Lake Eyre. And luckily for me and my imagination, the young pilot actually was the dead spitting image of Freddie Mercury. And so I based the whole story of our journey around Freddie Mercury and Queen songs, which I wove into it. So that was more of a fun piece to write while giving people information about how you go about flying over Lake Eyre with the company that we flew with.
Did he sing for you?
Oh, no. I don't think he realised that he looked like Freddie Mercury. Well, if he did, it certainly wasn't part of the conversation. So, no, I didn't ask him to sing. Maybe I should have. There's an opportunity lost forever now.
We've mentioned that the blog has now ended. You no longer do it for yourself anymore, but you published a book called
Aussie Loos with Views was the name of the book I published. And I think I mentioned this in the first episode as well, how I was approached by a representative from Hardy Grant, the publishing house, and the imprint my book was published under was Explore Australia, which some may be familiar with already. They publish a lot of books about travelling in Australia and maps and campsite and so on and so forth, walks, things like that. So I did actually market it myself as the quirkiest travel guide in Australia, even though it's technically not a travel guide unless you have toilets. Australian public toilets with nice views, or that are nice views because of the artwork that is on them. But yes, that purely came about because of my blog. Somebody had, I still don't know who that was, had given my name to someone who worked for that Explore Australia imprint. They were writing blog articles themselves, and so they were interviewing people about travellers, and they were looking, I think at the time, for other people to nominate people who were good Australian travellers who were writing about their work, and there would be an award at the end of it. And so I wrote my answers to the interview. It was a written interview for the blog, not a spoken one like this one. And so they edited it and obviously thought there was enough information in there. So I had a two-part interview, probably because of the way that I'd written the answers that was quite entertaining. I didn't win the Traveller of the Year or whatever
the
title was, but it didn't matter to me anyway because, you know, I was out there. And then the editor had actually seen this and had a look at my blog and realised that there was maybe a book lurking with the public toilet series, which, as I said earlier, was, you know, I'd written about 30 that was scenic in some way. So the book Aussie Loos with Views was born from that. That was a different book again in terms of writing
style. It's not
style.
The same as Mills and Boone.
It's not even the same as writing a blog.
My next question was going to be, how did you have to modify the writing from the blog for a book? And
Yeah, I did. Each of my blog posts about the public toilets was shorter than the average blog post, but it was still kind of a little bit longer than you would want for what was in effect a comical picture book about public toilets in Australia. So my editor at the time said, just write maybe 100 words maximum about each toilet. So I had to condense all the interesting things, try and make it a bit amusing as well.
Which is, if you're an Australian, there's sometimes a long drive between toilets.
That's right. Some of the outback toilets were interesting, to say the least. There was actually a book published quite a bit before mine called Aussie Dunnies or something like that. And that was really looking at the real outback toilets.
A dunny is a toilet. It's a slang term for a toilet in Australia.
Yes. At one stage, my book was going to be called Where's the Dunny, Mate?
Oh.
That was the working title. And then the marketing people kind of said, oh, maybe turn it into Aussie Loos with Views. So you can decide for yourself who made the right decision there. Yeah, so that was a different style again. And I found that I actually quite like working across the genres. So far, you know, a Mills and Boone, my blog, going back into the past, my corporate writing.
Your compositions.
My compositions, yeah, my history stories. And now a book about toilets. So yeah, I guess I'm the kind of person that gets bored easily. And so having this chopping and changing within the same kind of career, if you like, was actually a good thing for someone with my personality.
You no longer do the blog.
That's correct. I sold the blog.
And you sold that to another travel group.
I sold that to another travel blogger who were looking for content. So my content lives on their blog. I'm still listed as the author of that content, which has been modified to suit the style of their blog. It was time to let it go, so I let it go.
What's the name of that blog?
The name of the blog that I sold it to is Salt and Charcoal, which is a description of the two different people.
If you put Salt and Charcoal Travel.
Or Salt and Charcoal Blog.
You still put Red Nomad Oz in, which was the name of your blog. You could still probably catch it that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If you put in Red Nomad Oz, you would get to probably to my old blog, which links to their blog now. If you found my old blog, it's still there on the internet. If you click on anything, it will take you to an introductory page, which tells you that they have acquired Red Nomad Oz.
Your works
blog.
Are not lost.
No, they're not lost. I was so excited about that because I'd been thinking for a while that the blog had run its course for me. It served its purpose. I wasn't getting...
Personal purpose.
Yes, my personal purpose. People were still asking me, aren't you going to write any? So when this opportunity came up, I grabbed it with both hands because I could see that it was win-win for everybody. They got some Australian content, especially about some places that they hadn't travelled to themselves. I also got my work living on as the author of the posts that they got from my blog.
Now, the blog has been very significant in your writing life because not only did you write it and you sold it, you got a book out of it, but it has led also to working with another organisation.
Globe Rovers magazine, I believe you're referring to. One directly led to the other. So I had written the book. Someone had told the editor, Peter Stain, about the book, and he had contacted me to see if I was interested in reviewing my own book on the Globe Rovers magazine platform. Did that. He thanked me for my contribution, and in reply, as I often do, yes, thank you for the opportunity. If you're interested, I could write you more articles about Australia, and here's a list of five different things that you might find in for your magazine. And he picked up on those. And so I've written a number of articles now for that magazine as well.
So again, that's a different type of writing, going from compositions to Mills and Boone, to blogging, to writing a fact book in a humorous way, then writing magazine articles, which are different from blog posts.
Definitely, yes. The magazine articles are a lot more comprehensive than the blog posts, purely because of the medium. Like, people who read blogs want a quick and dirty, I guess you could say. Let's give a snapshot of what this is about. They don't want to read a 10,000 word essay.
A nice picture, and
very visual, very much visual. The magazine is visual as well. The focus of the magazine is more about presenting destinations in such a way that people want to visit, and also presenting out of the way destinations that not many other people necessarily have been to. The articles had a lot more facts in them. There was personal information as well. I think Peter was a bit taken aback. The first article I wrote was very much in blog style, and I remember getting a message from him sort of saying, help me out here, I'm looking for a magazine article or something to that effect. And so I quickly had to adapt my style to something that was more suitable to a print magazine, even though it's an online magazine.
And what
it's
was
a print
that
magazine.
Different.
The difference was the blog was very informal. It was really my voice as if I was telling my friend about something. There was no real formality. I had become on my blog the exclamation mark queen. I think there's a few of us out there. Maybe we should form a support group. Peter said, you can't write like that. I mean, he was much nicer about it than that. But in effect, he was saying, you can't really write like that for the magazine. We need to look at the information and how it's presented. I had to take a step back and think about looking at a blog article online is something you can do really quickly. Whereas picking up a magazine to read, you're more of a committed reader. And the reason that you're picking up Globe Rovers magazine is to read in depth depth about a destination that you may or may not want to visit, but you might find interesting. Not funny, but interesting. My focus had to change from little funny, quirky blog articles into that. It was actually quite hard to do. Kind of like a cross between my blog writing and my corporate writing. And I left that corporate writing way behind when I started my blog. So it was actually in some ways a little bit difficult to go back to that style again. But writers adapt. And so I did.
Once again, talking about your writing journey, you've moved on that from writing the magazines then to writing children's fantasy books. So we've gone from Mills and Boone, or compositions, Mills and Boone, blog writing.
A toilet book.
A factual writing, and then to magazine writing, to fantasy writing, another complete genre. Why did you take your past and make it into that book?
I believe in many aspects of our life, we are what we've done before. And so I took aspects of all of those things when starting to write the children's book. So the travel writing came into it quite a lot. The locations that we were writing about, some of the local people, like in Hammy and the Moken's Magic Potion, we talk about Moken people who play a significant role in the book. They live on the sea, in the waters. That was a cultural thing that we were able to add in. So travel writing helped that.
But the readers are not interested people
no.
that can afford to read to that. What had to change to reach a
to
different
change,
audience?
Change the focus, yeah. I think with all my writing, the thing that I've done the most is getting into the zone of what I'm writing about. So when I was writing a blog post, for example, I would mentally place myself back where I'd been. I'd look at the photos that I'd written. I'd read about it. I would immerse myself in the place again. I would make a few notes of maybe some of the comical and quirky things that had happened there or that I'd seen or whatever. And then I would transform that into a blog post, having really got into the zone of that place. And that's just one example, but I've done that throughout my writing career. So putting myself into where I want to be or where I'm writing about, even if I haven't been there, it's one way of personalizing it, I guess. Or the other aspect of that is to have your ideal reader in mind. Who is reading this? And for me, I found that having an actual person that was my ideal reader, so someone I actually knew, I want this person to read my book. So I would write it for them as if I was writing it specifically for them.
So did that help bring the language down to a...
Yeah.
For
yeah.
children, for instance, as opposed
yeah.
to technical writing that
yes.
you use big words in.
Or government writing. So technical writing or government writing or children's book writing, if you've got in your head, this is the person I'm writing for, well, for me, it makes it a lot easier because if it's an actual person, you can picture how they might react if you said a certain thing in a certain way and they'd think, oh, what's she talking about? In that sense, for me, it was an easy way to get into the zone, was to picture that person writing and then picture everything around me that I was writing about by pictures or words or anything really, put you into that atmosphere. And then for me, that makes it all come together.
We're now moving on, published that book this year, so in 2025, and that's available on Hammy website.
Hammybooks.com.
If people want to see that. But what now? You've published that book. It's done. So what other projects are you working on, if any?
Well, you won't be surprised to learn that I have a completely different project in mind, a completely different genre this time. My next personal project will be a fictionalized memoir. Not about every aspect of my life, you'll be relieved to hear, I'm sure. About some incidents in my life that happened over the last probably 4 or 5 years, quite significant, big changes. During COVID, COVID was the least of my problem. I had a number of significant things happening during that time, which I won't go into detail because in my book, I struggled with how I would write about this. One of the things I did in the middle of all the drama that was happening was to write for myself, and I would just pour out, this is what I'm feeling right now.
A cathartic
yes,
burst.
Yes, very much so. And I would look at some of that and think, actually, that's really good. In my own opinion, of course. Others can judge that for themselves if I do end up publishing the book.
And it is about health issues and how you travel that journey.
Yes.
In a broad sense.
Yes, in a very broad sense. It's about sickness and death, I suppose, and how people react to that and how people relate to that. And so this will be, again, as I said before, drawing from all other aspects of my life. You know, I can write about that in a darkly humorous way. I'm used to writing in a humorous humorous way. I can write about facts because I've written about many facts before. Maybe the children's book wouldn't inform it quite so much. The aspect of blog writing that would come into that would be how to present information in an entertaining enough way that people will keep reading, but they'll still get a message, which I suppose is how the children's book does relate the lessons to be learnt with there more subtly. I see it as a bit of a culmination of many other aspects of writing that I've covered in my life. Again, it will be a much more personal book about how to travel that journey, I suppose. So I started work on it back when the issues were happening, which I've moved on from now. It's been, again, another passion project of mine that there are aspects of that journey that need to be talked about, not just because they're my journey.
In terms of the list from compositions yes. to writing adult fiction series or mystery series or anything, do you aspire, I suppose is what I'm saying, to something beyond this semi-factual personal book?
Well, every time that I've settled on a genre, I feel that, yes, this is the genre for me. And then, strangely, I move on to another genre.
Oh, Milton Boone, so, here we come.
Yeah. And so I think I can't say that I have a particular thing that I aspire to be, because every time, general life thing, not just a writing thing, every time I've planned for something to happen, it kind of hasn't, in a bigger sense. Not just the little things from day to day. My writing journey has kind of been the same. I never planned to work for the editorial director of that magazine. I wasn't expecting that to happen and I wasn't planning towards that. I mean, I guess there's been a lot of luck and coincidence.
But you have to put it out there to actually...
You have to have done something to get anything. It hasn't been a plan. I haven't ever sat down and said, okay, this is where I want to be as a writer in 5, 10, 20 years' time. And I don't think I ever would, because I like the randomness of how it's developed and I like the randomness of where it's going. If I write my fictionalized memoir, what comes next, I cannot say, because I don't any longer have aspirations. When I was looking for my escape plan from the corporate world, yeah, I had aspirations. I was going to be a Mills and Boone author and maybe even a chick lit. Some of the authors are writing more for women, but it's not Mills and Boone. I really admired a lot of them. I thought I could do that too. But I don't aspire to do that now because I'm kind of enjoying the journey I have now. I think the mixture of fact and fiction is something that I've now developed. I think that will make an interesting book in the sense that people who know me will be guessing which bits are true and which are not. It's also a way to present something that's quite personal in a more impersonal way. And the challenge...
Regardless of all your personal writing for different projects, what's actually happened is you've moved one step further away from writing, where you're now a copy editor for an international
marketing company. Yes. One of my main clients is an international marketing company that works in the space of sustainable tourism and travel, which is, again, it fits in with some of the things I've done in the past. Throughout my corporate life, I was known for my editing abilities. You know, I was often given documents to check, and the go-to person for people who are writing job applications, be able to get up. And so having those skills as well has been a really interesting part of my writing journey, because I find it very difficult to edit my own work because my writing's perfect.
Of course, you know, it is.
Of
yes.
course. Other writers will agree. Their writing's perfect. They don't need it. I'm being tongue-in-cheek, of course. I find it very difficult to find my own mistakes. I tend to use that skill to make other people's writing shine. For the magazine, that developed from my first article or two. Then Peter asked if I had the time, energy, inclination to edit some of the articles through the Globe Rovers magazine. I connected with the marketing company and I started doing some freelance work for them. So now I have copy editing, copywriting, the editing is a bigger part of that for me. I have my business. Yeah, that's another aspect of it that grew organically, I guess, from the writing we've done. That's why I don't plan, I guess, because these things, I never saw them coming. I never thought that's what I'd end up having or doing. If I have a plan, maybe that stops those things from happening. And okay, I've been lucky, as I said before.
Okay, I think we've probably covered the whole writing journey for today. A little question I can ask. Which writers influenced you?
Marion Keyes, an Irish author. I don't know if I would put her in the chick lit category. but I really liked the way she wrote about some quite serious issues in a, such a comical and engaging way that made people read it and understand. And I've read nearly every book that she's written. Of course, there's other authors.
Thank you very much for having a chat with us. And I look forward to next episode.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm looking forward to it too. And I hope our listeners are forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks for the opportunity.
See you next time.
Okay, bye.